Tumor Immunology Roundtable Podcast, edition of April 15th, 2008. Welcome everyone, how are you doing? Sorry for the delay in posting new editions of the podcast, but a series of huge workloads and some personal decisions have led to the absence of time and motivation to build a new audio recordings. Today I will present you a report submitted by the MOTAN collaborators from the Ludwig Institute for Cancer Research, Brussels, Belgium, published in Journal Immunity of this year, volume 28, page 414, called Restoring the Association of T-cell Receptor with CD8 Reverses Energy in Human Tumor-Infiltrating Lymphocytes. As you know, T lymphocytes present at the cell surface a receptor that allows the specific recognition of peptide MHC complex presented by antigen-presenting cells. This receptor is the TCR. This TCR does not recognize MHC class 1 or MHC molecules alone. It requires, for greater sensitivity, the presence of co-receptors, CD4 for MHC class 2 restricted T cells and CD8 for MHC class 1 restricted T cells. These co-receptors recognize special domains in MHC molecules and participate in the signal transduction of T cells by interacting with intercellular signal transduction partners that relay the TCR recognition signal towards the nuclear transcription, leading to effector function. This paper starts on evidence published by the same group in 2002 in European Journal of Immunology in a series of CD8 clones that, after several restimulation cycles, observed the loss of tetramer staining correlated with the loss of effector function. Based on these observations, the authors decide to dissect in more detail the functional evolution of a T-cell clone since its resting state to an activation state through antigenic restimulation until a new resting state. When T-cell CD8 clone specific of MAGE3 tumor antigen was stimulated with APC, or an antigen-presenting cell, loaded with peptide recognized by the clone, the MHC class 1 HLA1 restricted peptide IGHLY. In a resting state, the clone shows bright tetramer staining as shown in figure 1A. However, 4 days after restimulation with the antigen, we observe a clear loss of tetramer staining, reaching values less than 5% of the resting tetramer staining values. Slowly, as the days pass, the staining values with the tetramer increase, reaching the previous resting values at around day 14. Importantly, as is mainly shown in supplementary figure 1, the levels of CD8 alpha, CD8 beta, TCR alpha and TCR beta remain relatively stable. Therefore, we observe that a T-cell restimulation process alters temporarily the tetramer staining ability, and the reasons behind this behavior are independent of CD8 and TCR levels. As shown in figure 1D, several methods of T-cell stimulation result in tetramer staining temporal profiles that are comparable, although distant in range. We observe that T-cell clone restimulation with tumor cells pulsed with peptide recovers faster the tetramer staining levels than clones stimulated with EBV B cells pulsed with peptide or unspecific phytohematoglutinin stimulation or PHA. These facts can be interpreted as a result of weaker antigenic stimulation strength provided by tumor cells, as they usually express fewer MHC and co-stimulatory molecules, creating suboptimal stimulatory conditions. The authors evaluate the functional capacity of the clone to produce cytokines, interferon and IL-2, by ELISA. As shown in Figure 1b, we observe that, similar to tetramer staining profiles, the cytokine productions induced by antigen stimulation is reduced considerably by day 4, recovering to a much higher levels at day 14. When there is antigen recognition by T cells, an redistribution of the TCR occurs at the cell surface, and we observe an accumulation of the TCR in the areas close to the contact to the APC, like a dendritic cell, a B cell, or a tumor cell. Similarly to the functional assays related to tetramer binding and cytokine production, the authors evaluate the fluorescence by fluorescent microscopy, the relocalization of the TCR at day 4 after restimulation under antigenic stimulation conditions. As observed in Figure 1c, clonal T cells in resting conditions, when incubated with BEBV cells pulsed with peptide MH3A1, relocalize strongly their TCR to the contact areas between T and B cells. In contrast, recently restimulated T cells at day 4 do not, and in contrast, recently restimulated T cells at day 4 do not, in accordance to previous functional impairment data. The same kind of evidence is reported by the authors for molecules LAT or CD3-zeta. We can conclude from these last results that CD8 T-cell clones restimulation results in temporary loss of tetramer binding without visual loss of CD8 or TCR at cell surface, but associated to an incapacity to relocalize the TCR and other key molecules of the T-cell signaling in the areas of contact with APCs presenting cognate antigen. Until now, all the data presented is gathered from in vitro cultivated cells. The authors do ex vivo assays to confirm the in vitro data. In an individual presenting significant numbers of blood circulating T cells specific of peptide BMF1A2, GLCTLVAML, peripheral blood mononuclear cells were isolated and restimulated ex vivo with a cognate peptide. The number of BMF1A2 tetramer high cells was monitored daily and the results summarized in Table 1. We observed that the peptide stimulation of PPMCs induced a loss of the number of tetramer high events in the days following restimulation, with a clear expansion by day 14. These evidence are not observed under unspecific restimulation with irrelevant peptides or PHA. The authors conclude that the evidence observed in vitro can also be found ex vivo from freshly isolated blood-derived cells. I would like to see also information correlating the loss and the regain of tetramer staining with lymphocyte cell division by, for instance, labeling PBMCs with CFC and follow the evolution of cultures in parallel to tetramer staining. To explain why the lymphocytes express constant levels of CD8 and TCR despite variable tetramer staining levels, the authors analyze in more detail the cell surface distribution of CD8 and TCR by confocal microscopy. In Figure 2, is shown a representative image of CD8 lymphocytes with tetramer low and tetramer high staining profiles. We can observe in the figure that lymphocytes tetramer high, a clear colocalization of CD8 and TCR occur. In contrast, in CD8 lymphocytes tetramer low, we can distinguish the CD8 in green in the periphery of the cell and TCR in red in the interior of the cell. Therefore, tetramer low cells lack co-localization of CD8 and TCR. The supplementary Figure 1 summarizes the results of 40 cells analyzed and support these statements. An ultrastructural hypothesis of this lack of colocalization is provided by the authors, but with lack of fundamenting evidence. At this point, the authors decide to apply FRET technology, and FRET stands for Fluorescence Resonance Energy Transfer. This technology is based in the fact that one fluorochrome, after being excited at a determined wavelength, releases energy that is able to excite a close-by fluorochrome that releases detectable fluorescence at a different wavelength. This phenomenon occurs within a certain distance, lower than 10 nanometers. Doing so, the authors try to validate the method of FRET as marker of CD8-TCR colocalization, correlating it to tetramer binding and functional capacity. In these FRET experiments, the CD8 co-receptor stained with phytoerythrin-coupled antibody, that is the donor, and the TCR is stained with Alexa-647-coupled antibody, that's going to be or behave as receptor. As donor, as shown in figure 2D, when a clone is tetramer high, there is an energy transfer of phytoerythrin to Alexa-647. This phenomena is quantified using a particular formula described in material methods, and the FRET phenomena is expressed as a score value. Further evidence of the FRET phenomena is provided by supplementary figure 5, with FRET analysis with confocal microscopy and photobleaching. As the authors show in figure 4, the FRET phenomena also occurs in the reverse direction when the TCR is stained with a fluorochrome behaving as donor and the CD8 stained with a fluorochrome as a receptor. Facts that prove that the FRET can be reliably a marker of CD8-TCR colocalization, at least qualitatively. Next, a series of studies are undertaken to revert the absence of colocalization between CD8 and TCR that appears to impair tetramer labeling. One of the hypotheses followed by the authors that could explain the lack of colocalization would be that CD8 would be anchored to P56LCK and then unable to freely move associated to lipid rafts at the cell surface. As P56LCK association to CD8 is zinc dependent, the authors use zinc chelators, in this case O-phenantrolein, to enable the association. The results shown in figure 3 suggest that indeed the chelator is able to restore tetramer binding and functional cytokine production. Done that, the authors switch gears and follow a complete different hypothesis, the fact that protein glycosylation, and mainly TCR glycosylation, and their association to surface glycoproteins like this, clustered by extracellular galactin 3. Galactin 3 is a lectin able to pentamerize and binds amino motifs found at the end of sugar branches of glycoproteins like TCR. Doing so, galactins can create a gelatinous matrix that could impair or the mobility of the TCR. The authors do FRET analysis between galactin 3 and TCR and clones with low or bright tetramer staining. As shown in figure 4, higher values of FRET score are observed between galactin and TCR in the case of clones with low tetramer staining. Low scores of FRET are, in contrast, found between CD8 and galactin or between CD8 and TCR in such low tetramer clones. We can conclude that the galactin is associated to TCR and it suggests that it may reduce tetramer staining. The authors decide to find a way to counteract this association between TCR and galactin found in recently restimulated clones. Clones recently restimulated were tested for tetramer staining and cytokine production in presence of several ligands of galactin such as N-acetyllactosamine or LACNAC, lactose, sucrose, neuraminidase or suenosinine. This last molecule is an inhibitor of N-glucosylation. As shown in figure 3, lactose, LACNAC and suenosinine induce an increase of tetramer binding and interferon gamma production after antigen encounter. These authors declare that none of the products interfere with the functions of tetramer high clones. The action of galactin can result from the production of the clone itself after restimulation, from changes in glycosylation patterns leading to increased galactin binding motifs, and to exterior sources. As figure 5 shows, the addition of galactin 3 to the culture media has very weak effects on tetramer staining. However, T-cell activation does. Therefore, the problem resides in the clones itself, and we can suggest that T-cell activation and corresponding glycosylation patterns might be the cause of galactin association. The biochemical support of such phenomena are still obscure. Therefore, actually, we have two phenomena that can explain the reduced tetramer binding after restimulation of TCD8 clones. The P56-LCK association that leads to lack of mobility of CD8, and the TCR-galactin association matrix. The authors focus their attention to the use of LACNAC and acetylgalactosamine ex vivo, especially to tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, also known as TILs. TILs recognize and infiltrate tumors, but for various reasons they lack functional action in situ and ex vivo, fact that is commonly named as tumor-induced energy. However, when extracted from the tumor environment and cultivated in vitro, after a certain number of days, such energetic lymphocytes recover functional activity and are able to recognize tumor cells. In face of such evidence, the authors hypothesize that LACNAC is able to revert the energy state. To prove this such hypothesis, the authors sought first to use CD8-TCR-FRET2 as a surrogate marker of functional energy. In figure 6a, the authors evaluate the FRET scores of TILs isolated from human breast cancer lung metastasis and ovarian cancer ascites. Ascites is a peritoneal inflammatory fluid that accumulates in such patients. The TILs isolated show low FRET scores and much lower values than lymphocytes isolated from TCD8 cells isolated from blood of the same patients, suggesting the absence of colocalization between CD8 and TCR in TILs, reflecting a state of energy. Lymphocytes from a rejected human kidney show FRET scores similar to resting T-cell clones, thus highlighting the immunosuppressive environment of the tumor. In figure 6b, the authors incubate lymphocytes from gastric cancer and ovarian cancer ascites with LACNAC, and as we can observe, the FRET scores are higher in the LACNAC-treated lymphocytes than the ones untreated, thus suggesting that brief LACNAC treatment can revert energy states. I want to call your attention to the distinct values of FRET between experiments, and namely to the scores presented by control resting T-cell clones. The values are quite different and therefore cannot be used as referential values. The authors do not explain either the reasons for such disparities. Once more, I think that FRET scores should be used qualitatively and not quantitatively. Finally, we arrive to the most important experiments of all manuscript, and that, for me, justify the publication in the journal Immunity. In figure 6c and 6d, the authors expand the results provided in 6a to a higher level and now evaluated by more rigorous and solid manner. As shown, the infiltrating lymphocytes of ascites from endometrium carcinoma and ovarian cancer present functional profiles compatible with anergic condition, since when the lymphocytes are incubated with allogenic BEBV cells, a mix of autologous tumor cells, B cells, and macrophages, or beads coated with CD3 and CD28, they do not produce interferon gamma detected by ELISA. In contrast, These energetic lymphocytes, when briefly incubated with LACNAC, they clearly and unambiguously recover the capacity to produce cytokines. We can conclude, therefore, that LACNAC can revert the tumor-induced lymphocyte's energetic state ex vivo. As expected, in figure 6D, the lymphocytes derived from kidney rejection when treated with LACNAC do not show increased benefit, as they are not energetic. The authors so conclude, therefore, that LACNAC allow the correction of lymphocyte functional state where the CD8 and TCR are not co-localized. So in conclusion, in this article, we have observed that CD8 T lymphocytes' antigenic stimulation results in temporary reduction of their capacity to be stained by tetramers able to recognize such lymphocytes. We also observed that repetitive short restimulation cycles keep tetramer staining at low levels, and recovering from such low levels of staining takes several weeks to recover to resting levels. The authors in this manuscript fetched reasons responsible for these lower tetramer stainings and uncover that low tetramer staining is correlated with lack of co-localization between CD8 and TCR in contrast to tetramer high resting lymphocytes. The authors discover that zinc chelators and inhibitors of galectin-3 binding can improve tetramer staining levels correlated with increased functional activity of the lymphocytes. Finally, and with greater impact for cancer immunotherapy, a brief incubation of TILs with LACNAC ex vivo can revert TILs' energetic state. It is highly comprehensive why authors focus LACNAC instead of other candidates. First, the FRET scores and cytokine production profiles are better than the other candidates, improving lymphocyte profiles. Secondly, LACNAC and other sugars is much easier to introduce in clinics than the zinc chelators that, as we saw, also improve significantly advantage to be used. The authors also highlight the impact of glycosylation on lymphocyte surface molecules during antigen recognition. Almost all proteins are glycosylated. Glycosylation occurs in certain amino acids and is controlled by glycotransferases that build, in an ordered manner, sugar moieties of glycoproteins. One small example of importance of glycosylation in human physiology is the presence of blood groups that are not less than distinct sugar chains. The authors highlight the value of galectin-3 in reverting energy. This lectin is able to pentamerize and create gelatin-like structures by recognizing binding motifs in glycoproteins and homodimerizing. Such lattice network can reduce flexibility and mobility of bound glycoproteins, as appears to be the case of TCR. Galectin-3 is not the only lectin with such characteristics, as other lectins can do the same role. Therefore, further studies based on lymphocyte biology need to be accomplished to better understand this phenomenon, especially because it is clear that galectins play a role in parallel to other elements like intercellular partners of signal transduction, such as P56LCK, in reducing the tetramer staining. This paper opens several great perspectives in the future. It will allow better understanding of the environment created by tumors and changes induced in TILs. It also suggests the interest for the use of galectin-3 inhibitors in tumor therapy to revert local tumor energy and improve the performance of these tumor-infiltrated lymphocytes in fighting tumors. And finally, to lead to identification of novel tumor antigens that otherwise would not be identified due to energy. And like this, I'd like to end this edition of the podcast. Please leave your comments and suggestions in the podcast site at tumorimmunologyroundtable.podomatic.com. I hope to provide you a new report discussion within 2 weeks. And until then, thanks a lot for listening and have a nice time.
That was track number one from the album First Album by Thursday Group from Magnatune.com.